Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever had a dream become a reality? Have you ever seen the impossible become possible? Well, now we know the truth.
Performance from X Factor contestants of season 2, Fifth Harmony. Today we're doing an X Factor spectacular to celebrate the new season of X Factor. I got a special guest who's calling in. I first came into contact with this guest when he does reviews on all the reality competition shows, and I came across this guy by accident because I was told to Google my name because there was a lot of interesting write-ups, and I found this reviewer, Joe Crisco. Joe, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
How you doing? When Fifth Harmony came in last season with that performance just out of nowhere, what was your first opinions?
Well, I thought it was pretty good, but at that point they didn't really stand a chance because they had been revealing the rankings all season, and so you knew who the top two were going to be.
Right.
So I didn't think anything really could happen.
Definitely a good way to put that. Definitely.
But it was good. I hear they're putting out an EP now.
They have a new single out, and I actually have it on deck. I'm going to play that, and I'm going to get your opinions on it. The single is called Miss Moving On.
I think I heard a clip of it right when they first did it.
I'm breaking down, gonna start from scratch. Take it off like an etch a sketch. My lips are saying goodbye. My eyes are finally dry. I'm not the way that I used to be. I took the record off a date. It killed me, but I survived. And now
how he thinks that they actually have the that Fifth Harmony actually might have the potential even to surpass the quality of Spice Girls.
Just give them more time, and I think they'll get there. I mean, Spice Girls, come on, they're awesome, but I believe this new group now has the tools necessary to even surpass the status that Spice Girls has reached. And with now how the producing game has changed a lot, and so now they have it's more, you know, access to all these things where they can improve on their music a lot quicker than maybe the Spice Girls could have. So I don't know, I have faith in Fifth Harmony.
All right.
I think it depends on how their single does, because
definitely
Simon has a habit of, he didn't even really care about those girls until right up until the end when they had some good performances. He was giving them some bad songs and having them do the same thing over and over. And so,
yeah, it seems like
the single doesn't really do well, then he'll probably just drop them.
Didn't really start to happen until anything could happen. And that's
right.
When they actually noticed that, you know, maybe this group could actually do something.
And that was pretty much at the point when he had just given up on them and let them do their own thing.
Right. So imagine how much stronger they could have been if he would have just let them do their own thing
right.
In the beginning. Right. Yeah, they're putting out albums. In case any of the fans of mine are wondering, we recently put out a compilation album, and Emblem 3, they actually put out a full album too. Tell us what you think about this song, Chloe. I'm gonna play it for you.
I love the way that you like candlelight. We're going to try to get Joe back on
the line. I think Jason might have a question for me. Mr. Jason Artola, what was that question that you wanted to ask me?
Well, for anybody who watched the VMAs this year and on the red carpet, everybody must have seen Danity Kane make their announcement of their return. This time, Diddy-less. So I was just wondering, what do you think about the recent surge in all these girl groups, new and some old, coming back? And what do you think Danity Kane's impact is going to be, for one, in their return, and just comment on the fact that this time they're going to be completely on their own without Diddy?
Well, though I do think that this is a slightly off-topic question from our topic, which is the X Factor, we do have to recognize that just like the X Factor, Danity Kane did get their start on a reality competition show. I think they've always been a strong group, and I think that they might have a fair chance. Now, I'm going to ask Joe about that song we were just listening to, Chloe. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
All right, so what do you think about that song, Chloe?
Well, I really don't like name songs usually because it's harder for people to relate to them. I don't know anybody. I've never met a real-life Chloe except my aunt's dog. So it's okay, but I don't know. It's kind of reminding Chloe Kardashian that most people think her sisters are hotter than she is.
My co-host actually said the same thing when he first heard the song, that is it like about the Kardashians.
Chloe, didn't she used to flirt with one of the guys from Emblem 3? They used to flirt. I can't remember which one it was though.
And then Demi, I think, was also flirting with one of them as well, and they had this whole thing, but she wouldn't reveal which one she thought was the hot one, but she thought one of them was really hot, and
the one that can't sing it was the hot one. Well, I guess that could be any of them, really.
Usually, that is how it is with guy groups. They have one really attractive male in the guy group that can't sing, but just is in the group for the looks.
I know I saw a live performance from them a few weeks ago, and they had him front and center doing all the singing. And I thought, why? He's the one that can't even sing.
Yeah.
I mean, I would understand if they want to put him front and center to be looked at, but not to sing.
Yeah. Maybe just usually those are the ones that are supposed to be the guys that just go out and just move around the stage to get the crowd hyped.
Right. Just go there and look pretty and...
So, here I'm gonna next on deck. I'm speaking of Emblem 3. I'm gonna play a performance that had gotten a lot of mixed reviews, and they still made it through. It was a mashup that they did of My Girl, California Girls, and What Makes You Beautiful. I'm gonna refresh your memory right now, and you tell me what you think of this.
All right.
I'm
your girls mixed with My Girl and What Makes You Beautiful. What did you think of that combination?
The boy band mashup from the group that didn't want to be called a boy band. That was pretty silly. It wasn't bad, but...
I mean, I definitely think that when you compare what they're doing now and what they did on the show to their initial audition, you can see a difference that they might have came in not wanting to be a boy band, but they definitely went out a boy band.
Right, well, they're willing to do what it, whatever.
Yeah.
Which I can't say I blame them for that, but they never did. They always kept saying they weren't a boy band and they didn't want to be a boy band, and but they were always doing boy band stuff, and that's still what they're doing.
Mhm. I mean, yeah, they might give it a little bit more of a ska-esque feel, but it's still a boy band.
Right. They've got these weird accents when they sing.
Yeah. Now, it's probably no surprise to you that especially after my own audition in reality TV, that I'm a big supporter of hip-hop on reality TV. And it's really interesting how X Factor really changed the face, where allowing hip-hop artists to compete along with singers, and some of them have come up with very creative ways in their auditions. I remember how Lyric 145 took that Miley Cyrus song and totally switched it up and did something really creative with that.
Right.
Another one that they did, which I want to get your opinion on, they actually did this on the live show. I think it was on an episode that was supposed to be like Salute to the Movies, and they did their own version of Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. So I'm going to play that next and get your opinions on it.
Okay.
Well, that was Lyric 145's rendition fan of Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. So what did you think about that?
That's more words than I can say in a week.
I thought it was a fun performance. Is that the week they got eliminated? Or was it, I think it was the next week.
Yeah. I mean, I give them
their
credit.
Yeah, they had the whole Alice in Wonderland thing with that performance.
Yeah,
I
give them their credit versus the previous season's X Factor contestant Astro. Because
right.
if you look them up after, directly after, they were putting out song after song saying, this is what we were supposed to do the following week. Then by the end of the show, they already had their single. And, I mean, you know, they were really, you know, hustling and doing their thing where Astro put out one song that was only available in the UK as a feature with Cher Lloyd.
Right. He was on, what, Law and Order or something?
He was on Law and Order. Prior to being on X Factor, he was on some Rising Star show that they were doing a special on 106 and Park on BET. And so, X Factor wasn't his first time around the block, you know, with this music thing. So you really kind of expected more from him.
Right.
You know, so I was kind of let down on that. You know, and supposedly he's the one who signed with L.A. Reid, and yet Lyric 145 independently has been doing more work than he has.
Right. L.A. Reid has no loyalty to anybody. I mean,
yeah.
From what I've read about him, he's... And you saw it on the show when he was, I think it was when Vino was eliminated, and L.A. had changed his song at the last minute and said, well, if it didn't go right, that he would, you know, take responsibility for that. And then on the show, he said everything was fine. And then the next day in interviews, when Vino was eliminated, he said, well, it's because he didn't sing the song good. And so he took
right.
responsibility all for it. But I think with a hip-hop, I think it's, I don't think, nobody's ever made it that far because it's just not mainstream enough. Nobody's going to make it over a really good singer. I think what they should do is combine them with the singers, with songs that, like we hear on the radio, with like a mix.
Yeah, so kind of do like a, so you're saying kind of do like almost like a Nicki Minaj thing where they mix the rapping and the singing.
Right. If they want to put a group together, put a group together. Because especially with the theme weeks, it's hard to turn a country song into a hip-hop song. But you can mix them up if, you know, if they really wanted to do that.
I mean, there's definitely been hip-hop country collaborations in the past that have worked with going back to the late 90s with Nelly and Tim McGraw teaming up. So, it just has to be done right.
Right.
All right. So, going back to the first season, there was I think there was one standout performance, although there were many, and he definitely went further in the competition than Lyric 145 from Astro. This was one standout performance I want to get your opinions on. This was the first round of live shows. He did a mashup of Rump Shaker and Jump by Criss Cross. And I want to get your opinions on this in a second. I'm going to play it right now.
Okay.
Check, baby, check, baby, 1, 2, 3, 4. Check, baby, check, baby, 1, 2, 3. Check, baby, check, baby, 1, 2. Check, baby, check, baby, 1. Don't try to compare me to a modern day MC. I'm the kid proofing that Ron pays. I'm like Ice-T. I make them pop hands every time I kick a flow. All you gotta do is give me the mic and I'm ready to go. They call me Stroke if you didn't know. They call me them. If I don't do nothing else for my show, I definitely make you wanna jump, jump.
So that was the Rump Shaker Jump medley done by Astro. What do you think of that performance?
I remember that song when I was a kid, Jump. That was a really good performance. I think if they left the themes open, it would have made things easier for Astro. But a lot of his problem was that people said that people were saying, when they had the different things, people were saying, "Oh, he's writing his own lyrics." That's not the song, because you know, a Michael Jackson song without Michael Jackson's lyrics and just a little bit of it, people don't consider that the song. So,
right, it's sort of a live mixtaping, it so to say.
Right.
Yeah, which, you know, that's mixtapes. It's a great, in the hip-hop community, that's something that people do to promote themselves. So he was thinking definitely with the mentality of a hip-hop artist. So, and to be able to last as long as he did in the competition, I definitely commend him for, you know, because...
Right.
You know, because obviously... People were liking him because he stayed in the competition for a while.
Yeah, and then he got that little bit of attitude talking back to the judges, but, I mean, what can you expect from somebody that young?
And then the following week he got kicked off.
Right.
Right. So, we have on deck, we were talking earlier about the single that came out by Lyric 145, their original song, I Get It. I'm going to play it for you. Let me know what you think, and also your opinions on, even though they went independent, how they're still trying to keep their lyrics clean versus if you look up some of their older material prior to the show and what Lyric the Queen was doing independently when she did a mixtape with the Otis beat versus what they're doing as a group now. So I wanted you to weigh in on your opinions on that as well.
Okay.
Here is I Get It.
Yeah, yeah. This that theme music that be playing out when we ride. California love, but I'm reppin' for the east side. Catch me out in LA, buzzin' like a beehive. Yeah, I want the glory, more notorious than that B.I.G. guy. Everybody wanna live la vida, but they don't stay grounded. They be running around in these skies, trying to get tree high, puffing the weed till they see God. But I ain't trying to meet my maker yet, I'll save that for when we die. I run these MCs like Adidas and some Lee jeans. I don't think the world's really ready for what we bring. Catch me up in Queens and you'll really see what we mean. Me and Jules with the queen, why you think they call us the kings? These things never come easy, is that what you think? Do a few shows and you'll be balling out in the bank. Stay in the studio, man, keep on bragging about your mixtape. That's what I hate, there ain't no time to waste, you gotta get it.
I got it, I get it, man. I'm pretty much sound asleep. VC
cleverer, try to level my intelligence. You are something devilish, ever since I was seven, since the definition of a competition became irrelevant. We get it, we got it, we get it, we got it, we get it, we got it.
They want to really get it out there to keep it clean, so they don't have to do two different versions of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can get that, just get that one version out there.
I mean, it still had an edge to it, but it was definitely a clean song.
Right. Simon seemed to see money signs in them from the start, but I don't know, I guess he lost interest. I don't think he really, I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah.
I think he could have really done a lot with them, or they could have done a lot with his help.
Yeah,
Or with his money, actually. With his money and promotion, but...
Shit, with his money, I could have done a lot with them.
With his input, they couldn't have done anything because he just didn't seem to know anything
I've read excerpts from his book, and I think some of his opinions on hip-hop have changed since he wrote his book, but he actually said it in his book, I don't usually like hip-hop because I don't get hip-hop.
Simon's opinion,
you know, and it seems like,
depending on where the money comes from. Because every season now of X Factor, you're hearing him saying something different. Like after season one, it didn't work because Paula Abdul was there and people thought it was like American Idol. And then after season two, it didn't work because Britney Spears was there and she couldn't talk. And I don't know what his excuse is going to be for season three.
Well, I actually was in the primaries for season three and actually went to the LA auditions. What I can say is, and you'll understand when you see the LA auditions and you'll have a field day with the LA auditions. Christmas comes early, and then that's one thing. Next, there was this girl I actually stood next to in the primaries, and she seemed quite intelligent. And when I went to the shows, I was so excited that I saw her. I actually stand up and went, woo-hoo! Then she started to sing the most wretched song ever. And I turned to the person next to me, and I'm like, is there a way to take back that woo-hoo?
I know I went to a tapings of the auditions last season in Greensboro.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many good auditions, and then when they showed them on TV, they showed some hillbilly and just a couple of other people. If they would actually put through some of the good people that actually did audition, I don't know what they're thinking.
Well, I'm going to be definitely interested to see the LA rounds, because there was a lot of good groups, but in LA they seem to be extremely hard on Group X, and you know, if someone was to do something more like a 90s retro sound, they would complain that it sounded outdated, which, you know, some acts are just trying
to
bring back
a little outdated
song
on these shows.
Yeah.
Because
so
the most current stuff, a lot of people that are watching are in their 30s and 40s, and they want to hear songs from when they were younger, songs that they know.
Right. So when an act goes out and you know, tries to reinvent a moment like NSYNC, and I remember there was one group that auditioned with an NSYNC song, and they had the perfect spot on choreography, you know, where even, you know, we're definitely paying tribute to that time, and the judges simply just dismissed them, you know, and the crowd was going wild when they were performing, so it's always definitely interesting to see how the judges will respond to certain acts, and if you see the shows live, will they put those acts on TV or will they not?
Right, they have. It seems like they're trying.
Go on.
Right. It seems like they have. They'll do songs from the 50s and 60s that have been done a million times, or they'll do songs that have just been released to radio, and it's like they skip over the 80s and 90s and they skip over the past 25 years.
Yeah, when
most
a
of
lot
these
of,
shows do, and I think that's
yeah.
a dumb
Which,
thing to do.
I don't get, because I mean, there's such a great era of music in both the 80s and 90s, so why would they neglect that era if they're going to do
right.
all these other eras as well?
If I have to hear the Beatles one more time on one of these shows, I just don't know what I'm going to do.
I mean, it seems like sometimes they just recycle the same topics over and over again, and, you know.
Right. Well, if you watch, and I haven't watched much of it, but the X Factor in the UK, that's where Simon gets a lot of his song ideas. Because you'll see a lot of the songs he picks for his acts are songs that have been done across the pond and have been successful. Or songs that were done on American Idol, like Billie Jean, when David Cook did Billie Jean. And then Simon gave it to Drew, who was like a teenage girl singing about Billie Jean is not her lover. Well, of course she's not your lover. You're not old enough to have a lover.
Right.
And so he just, I don't think he really thinks things through.
Yeah.
He just sees what works and for one person, and he tries to recreate that. He didn't
Definitely.
Used to do that, but that's how he's been doing things recently, and I think that's why ratings aren't what he wants them to be.
Which, you know, when you look at how it's done in the UK, you know, if he essentially, you know, I was one of the people who actually thought that, you know, by doing my research on what happened in the UK, because in the UK, X Factor was the show that got Idol canceled in the UK. So,
I think that's to be expected here too.
Right.
But they just canceled it there because they didn't want to have two competing shows.
Well, I mean, I think they're on both Idol and X Factor. They're on the same network, and they schedule them so one's a fall to winter and one's a winter to spring show. I mean.
Right. And Simon didn't want X Factor to look like American Idol, but he lost out on that because I think it was around season 7, American Idol started doing things that X Factor in the UK was doing, like allowing instruments, and they had the judges walk out, and they had the four judges, the judges saved, stuff that the X Factor was already doing. And then, so by the time X Factor started, it just looked like a ripoff of American Idol.
Right. My opinion when it started was kind of an interesting hybrid of American Idol and The Voice. Because we had already had The Voice, so we saw how, with the judges mentoring them, and so it's like, it's sort of taking the good quality from both of those shows and then merging them into one show.
Right. And now for this season, I don't even know if they know what they're going for this season because they canceled Boot Camp and Judges
Home. Speaking of people who reportedly made it to boot camp, but we never heard from again, there's been rumors that a mutual acquaintance of ours is making a return for season 3. I don't know if these rumors are true or not, but in your opinions, if Panda Ross was to return, what do you think she could do to stand out more or to really go far in the competition?
Well, should I get spoilers? Do we want to spoil it?
I mean, we probably both know some answers about her.
Yeah, well, we've all seen Arnold, but I've talked to Panda, and she made it through the auditions, and then got to boot camp, and then boot camp.
I actually was speaking with her previously about doing an Idol X Factor crossover song. So that was something that was in the works. So I had heard something about her going through, but I don't know what was going on after that.
Well, I talked to her when she auditioned. She auditioned in New Orleans. And she was there with Zonette Johnson. Remember Zonette from American Idol?
Right. I know that they had. I know from their her YouTube show from with Jason Brock that they became pretty close friends, and there was articles about how they were hanging out together a lot.
Right. So she auditioned and she made it to boot camp, and then they took everyone to boot camp and just had them in a room all day and then canceled boot camp and then just announced the top 40 from then. And then I think the top 40 performed yesterday, I think, to make it to the top 16. So the judges only have only seen their audition and then their performance from this week to decide who goes to the live shows.
Right, I mean, I know definitely that there's a lot of pre-taping, so I know that they're, as we speak, have been working for weeks, and they're practicing and doing their thing. Anyways, we're about to close out our show in a few. I definitely want to invite you back in January. We could do an Idol Spectacular show as well. And I think that'd be fun to do. I honestly can't wait for you to see season 9 because I've actually announced, I'm kind of switching up what I'm doing, but I announced that I will be attending the auditions, trying to do more of a musical hosting sort of thing, you know, with the artists that I work with. So it's sort of switching up. It's not the usual act, but I look forward to seeing your review on that next year.
All right.
All right. Anyways, I'm going to close out the show today with, close out the show with well, we got a request, actually. This is an artist that's on my new compilation album that is out in stores right now. This is a song called Ray Charles Swag by an artist by the name of Big Mook.
Rachel, I don't see you, hater. Rachel,
Well, that was Ray Charles Swag by Big Mook. We're about to close out, and just like yesterday, we also have a surprise guest in the studio. She's here to continue working on that song that we told you about, Give Some Love for Miss Tierra Mora. All right, here she is.
What's wrong with your swagger? Wrong with your swagger? Wrong with your swagger? I don't think it's working right. What's wrong with your swagger? What's wrong? Pretty sure everybody out there, if you notice there's anything you want to upgrade, listen to my music. It can be a soundtrack to your life. You'll see that the topics can be applied to you, your friends, your family. It'll make you laugh. It'll just give you something to ride to. Most of the time it's serious, because I do take it seriously when I edit my lyrics so that everything that you're listening to has a purpose. It's not all super-duper detailed. I work day in, day out to make sure that one song, 1 3-minute is perfect. I mostly let it come live. But you know what? I'm thinking of y'all every time I pick up that pen, every time I'm on the mic. But also, I'm thinking about myself. Do I like it? And I do. So I hope you do too, y'all. Talk to you later.
That was Miss Tierra Mora, someone who definitely has the X Factor. I'm Matt Big Stats Frankel, with all me always, my co-host, Mr. Jason Artola.
What up, y'all? Till next time.
All right. And as always, if you support what we're doing, if you want to be part of the magic that makes this happen, if you want to donate and to our cause, also if you believe in music education for special needs children, or want to help improve the station and all the stuff we do, go to msfpinc.com. Again, that's msfpinc.com. You can listen to all the old episodes. They're all archived there. You can listen to music. Miss Tierra Mora's single, Almost There, is also for sale on that site. And you can scroll down, click the donate button, if you want to show us some love and donate to our cause, and we can really make this something special. That's all the time we have for today. Until next time, I'm Matt Big Stats Frankel from Big Stats Idle Hour. Peace.